Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. You want to have some fun?
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
Okay, are you ready? Sing along now.
My name is Stanley Bookman, and I come from the world of ink. I live in a town called Storyville that's closer than you think. Just hop online and you will find my online world of fun. There's stories, poems, and features on everything under the sun. Just type in Stories for Children Magazine at .org to the end. Come join me in reading adventures, we're sure to become good friends. So come to the world of ink with me, we'll share a story or two. We'll go all over the world, you'll see, we'll have fun the whole day through.
Follow me to the World of Ink.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Stories for Children show at Block Talk Radio's World of Ink Network. Be prepared to call in later and chat with hosts V.S. Grenier and myself, Irene Broth, and our very special guest today, Mary Cunningham, right here at Block Talk Radio's World of Ink Network, Stories for Children magazine news show. It's 6 p.m. Eastern on the 1st of June, 2011. As always, Stories for Children can be listened to live at blocktalkradio.com/World of Ink Network. Or you can listen to it on demand at any time you'd like at the same address or on iTunes. Just search for World of Ink Network and you'll find our shows on iTunes. We'll be taking your calls today towards the end of the show. If you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you and ask a question of our guest. The phone number to call is area code 714-242-5259.
Thanks, Irene. It's great being here. This is V.S. Grenier, and we're excited because we are now getting ready to launch the next issue of Stories for Children magazine, which is what the whole SSC magazine news show is about here at BTR's World of Ink Network. And we actually have our summer issue coming out, and what's a little different about this year and what we've done in the past is normally we have a June issue and a July issue, but we're actually going to have a combined issue, which is a June-July summer issue for Stories for Children. Have you had a chance, Irene, to look at the I know I haven't finished formatting the whole magazine issue together yet, but have you had a chance to see the cover art or any of the...
Yes, I think it's gorgeous. I really do love the. It's so colorful and wonderful. Yes, I have.
Yeah, just so everybody knows who's listening, normally the magazine, it doesn't come out on the first of the month. It always comes out the first Monday. So the June-July 2011 issue of Stories for Magazine will be released on June 6th at storiesforchildrenmagazine.org. And then when we can, we always try and have our featured guest that's in our magazine issue. And we're really excited because Mary Cunningham is our featured guest in the June-July summer issue of Stories for Magazine. And she was able to join us tonight. She is the author of, oh my gosh, where's my note? This every time, everybody. She is the author of Cynthia's Attic. It's actually an award-winning tween fantasy mystery series, which is very exciting because there's not a lot of mystery series out there, and then she ties fantasy into it as well. So welcome to the show, Mary. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, I know I've talked with you in the past, and I know I've also have had you as a featured guest on my personal blog, The Writing Mama. But can you share with everybody a little bit about Cynthia's Attic? Because it is for the tweens, so it's more for the 10 to, is it 14, or do you go a little over that?
Well, it's actually 9 to 12. That's
kind
of the new category for tweens.
Keeps changing that age group.
Right.
So what's kind of the whole premise of the series?
Well, it's about two 12-year-old best friends, Cynthia and Gus, who find a magic trunk in Cynthia's attic, and it allows them to travel through time and have adventures and solve mysteries with their ancestors. And what's kind of different about it is that the girls go from 1964, when they're 12 years old, back to 1914, and they meet their 12-year-old grandmothers.
Wow.
Wow.
That's neat.
So that's kind of a different twist.
Now, I know, I think there's a 5 or 6 in the series so far.
There are 4 published,
four.
And I'm working on the 5th.
Okay, you're working on the 5th. I heard something like that. So when we talked, now I know I read the first one because I'd gotten, and that's what had gotten me in contact with you originally back when I had you, like I said, as a featured interview on my blog, The Writing Mama.
Uh-huh.
But with each book, do you bring in, because they do go to different times in the past and stuff, do you bring in on some of the historical things that are going on in the different, in the different books, like for those different time periods, or do you keep it strictly more fantasy?
No, it's, I like to say it's a historical fiction with fantastical elements. So that's kind of how I describe the books. I apologize for my throat. My voice keeps going in and out. I've had some laryngitis, so bear with me. I'm really very interested in history and especially genealogy, which is why I wanted the girls to travel back to 1914, because that's a period of time that I was always fascinated with, because I have so many old family photos from that area, from that era. And I always enjoyed the stories that my grandparents told about what they did in the early 1900s. So that's kind of why I picked that particular starting point for the girls. Now, they do travel even earlier in time, back to the 1800s, in Curse of the Bayou, which is the third book.
Wow.
And then in the fourth book, there's another twist, because they travel forward in time.
Oh,
and they meet some very interesting future relatives.
Oh, how fun. Now, are any of the main characters based on yourself or anybody in your family, or you know, because I know a lot of writers tend to, with main characters, draw upon, you know, people that they've met, or, you know, family, friends, themselves.
Well, I am the point of view character. I am Gus. So I'm the one telling the story. And a lot of me is inside Gus, a lot of the characteristics. And Cynthia was my real childhood best friend. So some of her characteristics are in the books, too. In fact, the whole idea for the series came about through a recurring dream that I'd had for over 20 years about this mysterious attic. And I could never figure out where the attic was or why I was there, why I was having the dream. And then I was telling a friend of mine one day about the dream, and I realized that it took place in the home of my childhood friend, Cynthia. And we used to play in her attic all the time and, you know, go through the old boxes and trunks and try on, you know, all the old clothes, and we just really had a great time there. So that's kind of how the whole series, the whole book idea got started. And I also use a lot of my ancestors in the books, my grandmother, my dad, my great-great-grandfather, 2 of my great-grandfathers and a great-grandmother. So, you know, my relatives are scattered all through the books.
Wow, that's really cool.
I have a question,
of course, I took great liberty with their characters, since most of them I didn't know. Most of them were gone before, you know, I had a chance to really know them.
Could I ask something, Virginia?
Yeah, go ahead, Irene. You have to ask me.
I was just wondering, Mary, when did you conceive of this project as a series? Like, when did you come up with the idea that it might be a series?
Well, I wrote the first 2 books together. I started writing the first one, and then there was just this little cliffhanger at the end, and I had more to say, so I decided that I would go ahead and write the first 2 books.
Oh,
and I expected it to be a 2-book series.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end of the second book, I wrote a little cliffhanger that led to the 3rd book, and that led to the 4th book, and then I thought, well, that's it. It's going to be 4 books, and that's it.
Okay.
But then something happened in the 4th book that led to a 5th book. So I'm really thinking that the fifth book is it, but you know, you never know.
It sounds kind of like, you know, I always hear a lot of writers tell me, and I know with my own writing when I sit down that I'll try and, you know, maneuver my characters where I want them to go or the story where I want it to go, but a lot of the time it seems like we're more of the vessel of the story that needs to be told versus us trying to tell a story that we want to tell.
Right.
And just kind of what you're saying, how there's this cliffhanger and there's a cliffhanger, just kind of, you know, made me think of that. It has a, you know, it sounds like it's the same kind of, you know, thing with the whole Cynthia Zadig. It's more, you got the idea, but it's its own story and it wants to tell it, and it's just not going to give up until you tell the story it wants you to tell.
You're right.
Right. That's interesting.
Now, what's been great about having you, you know, as our featured guest within the summer issue of First Children magazine is because the whole issue, and of course you didn't know this when we asked you to be our featured guest, is basically superheroes, famous people, freedom, and then, you know, history, basically. And so when we were kind of putting the magazine together and I was picking the titles that were going to be in it, we're trying to figure out, you know, which feature guest, you know, which guest we wanted to have to be our interview. Chris and I, who does the, who actually is the one who interviewed you at the magazine. And we really felt that you were a strong person just because, as I said, even though there's fantasy in your book, you know, there's the history element. And I picked that up in the first one as well, as one that did carry throughout the other, you know, the other books that are in the series. You know, I also like the fact that the mystery, because the one thing I noticed out there in the market, and we do a lot of book reviews at Stories from Magazine, is there doesn't seem to be a lot of mystery books out there. I mean, yeah, you have your classics, the Hardy Boys and the Nasty Drew, and, you know, there's a few other authors out there like Maxwell and Anderson, who does a lot of mystery-type books for reluctant reader boys. And then we have, we just recently talked to another author, Renee Hand, who he does more of a chapter book kind of mystery series with animal characters. But it doesn't seem to be that there's a lot of writers who are focusing on mysteries. So was that something that you had planned when you started writing the Cynthia Zadig books, or did it just kind of happen?
It really just kind of happened. I started writing the books and really didn't even know what I was writing. I didn't know what age group I was writing for. I hate to say that because it sounds like, you know, I just kind of wrote this by the seat of my pants, but that's kind of the way it happened. And it just really evolved into a mystery. It really started out as just a memoir, and then I wasn't satisfied with that, so that's kind of how it turned into a fantasy mystery story. And I was always fascinated with time travel when I was a child, and that's one of the things I always wished I could do. So I was about halfway through writing the first chapter, and this sentence appeared on the page that it was, Clara, is that you? And as soon as I saw that, the whole story just kind of fell out in front of me, and I knew that the stories, that the girls were going to go back in time, because Clara is Cynthia's grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I decided to take the girls back in time so they could meet their grandmothers and have a mystery to solve and really kind of get to know their grandmothers when they were the same age. So that's kind of how it got started.
Yeah, it's very cool. Now, do you have any plans for any other book series besides Cynthia Zadig, or are you just going to focus on this one right now until you move on to, you know, get it finished and then move on to a new series of books? And some writers, you know, they tend to focus on one project, some focus on many projects, so I'm kind of curious what kind of author you are.
I'm not very good at focusing on more than one thing at a time, but I am in the middle of writing a couple of adult mysteries, and I'm also kind of working on an idea with my husband on another mystery series for maybe teens, I'm not quite sure. He spent all of his summers in Minnesota, and they had a gang of five that they would always do things with and run around with. And for the last 20-some-odd years, he's been telling me all these stories about what they used to do and all the trouble they used to get into. So I'm trying to get him to compile some of his stories. He's not able to write them, but he has this wonderful creative imagination. So I'm trying to get him to kind of give me an idea of some things they used to do. And I would love to write another adventure series about the lake country in Minnesota. So
oh,
that's kind of what's on the back burner right now.
Well, it's good. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you've been jotting down ideas when they come to you. So when you get the time to sit down and actually work on those projects, you'll have all those notes to draw upon.
I hope so. The problem is having time to write.
Oh, I was just talking to Irene about that before the show started, and you called in. Lately, I've been really overworked because.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot, and I have three kids, so I'm a very, very busy person, you know, in my house and out of my house, and I've actually been lately been told by my doctor, oh, you need to slow down, you're starting to get chronic fatigue, because I just go, there you go.
And you're in the middle of a blog tour?
Yeah, I know. I don't slow down, and... So, yeah, I understand. Sometimes you do have to kind of put the brakes on and rest and kind of evaluate things. And it's hard because it's – and when especially, you know, when you have a book, promoting it and marketing it and, you know, doing book signings or school visits, if it's, you know, if you're a children's author, whatever, you know, radio interviews, regular, you know, interviews, even if you're typing on a screen, it takes so much time. And just trying to find enough time in the day to get it all done is just – impossible. I guess I'll have to have a magazine issue on that for kids about time. That might be a good topic.
That would be great. Well, I think I spend about two-thirds of my time marketing and a third of my time writing, if that gives you any idea. Plus, I do a lot of school visits and things like that, so it really takes up a lot of time.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that because... you know, we have a lot of new writers who listen, and we have a lot of our contributors who, contribute to the magazine that, eventually want to break out of just being, magazine writers and get into actually, a book author.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that like? I mean, I've done a few school visits. I haven't done really too many. I've been to quite a few of my local author friends here when they do visits, I'll go help them out and stuff, but I always love hearing other authors, what they kind of do for their visits. And then obviously I'd love you to share the information for any, homeschooling parents or teachers who might be listening too, so they can always contact you to have you come visit as well.
Well, I think I'm kind of lucky because I concentrate on fourth graders and fifth graders, and they are very, very receptive. I've also talked to third graders, but they're just not quite there when it comes to the books. They can read them, but I find that the fourth and fifth graders are really my target audience.
All right.
And I have I do a couple of PowerPoint presentations. For the fourth grade, I use an ideas presentation where I show old pictures of my family and old pictures of the setting for the books, which is my hometown of Croydon, Indiana. And then I show them how I get my ideas for the books and some of the characters that were my ancestors that are in the books. And that really goes over big. They really enjoy that, and the teachers enjoy it too, because they don't often get a chance to see, pictures of the early 1900s and the way people looked. And, I show them. In order for me to write about that particular era, then, I have to know what people looked like. I have to know what kind of clothes they wore. And they also kind of give me an idea of their personalities. So that's right. The fourth grade presentation that I do. And then for fifth grade, I do more of a writing presentation. And I go through the first book, which is The Missing Locket, and I show them kind of the concept I used for writing the book from beginning to end, the ideas, getting the characters, gosh, I kind of went blank, but just showing them, you know, what their options are as far as writing a book and how they could get ideas for writing their own books from pictures and from family stories and things like that. So it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, no, I think that's really great. And what I love, too, is the fact that, you know, you're bringing in the photos and showing them, you know, family history and stuff, because I mean, I don't know about all schools, but I know out here in our school district that, I can't remember if it was my son's fifth grade year, but they had to do, like, I know they had to do it again, I think, like, for eighth grade. They had to do a family tree and kind of, you know, get a feel for that. And I thought that was great because, you know, I think sometimes schools get so focused on the math and the science and, you know, even, you know, language arts is, at least out here, language arts in our school district this last year was a really big emphasis on that. And so, but I think they forget that you got to bring in some of the, you know, history, but not just, you know, history in general, but, you know, historical family history and where, you know, so kids can relate better to what, you know, is going on and how that relates to this and to that and to, you know, and get a better understanding. And I think it's great that you do that because, you know, the kids do get that and then they start realizing, oh, you know, and they didn't have this and now we have that, and then it makes them more interested in science or makes them more interested in math or more interested in history as a whole or something like that too. So that's a great thing. Now,
well, I think connecting some of the pictures that I use and some of my ancestors to the books really helps them to understand that particular era and understand the way people were and how they lived.
Yeah.
For instance, Curse of the Bayou is based on the real disappearance of my great-great-grandfather. And he was taking a flatboat full of produce down the Mississippi River in the around 1860 when he disappeared. So naturally, I wanted Cynthia and Gus to go back to Louisiana and see if they could figure out what happened to him. And that really fascinates the students when I tell them that story and then show them pictures of my ancestors and pictures of the family that he left behind. They can really connect to that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, I mean, very, you know, obviously you don't know exactly what happened, but, you know, very interesting background to, you know, what led to the writing of the book and the story, you know, the back storyline anyways to the main story of the book. Very interesting. Now, Cynthia Beck has won an award. Has anyone won one award? Has it won more than one? And I'd love to know what award and all of that.
Gosh. The Magic Medallion won a USA Book News Award. Curse of the Bayou, I can't really think of which one it was. I'm kind of going blank right now. But I could look that up for you.
Now I'll have to look it up because I know I used to have them in front of me. I don't put all my notes in front of me, otherwise I get lost in what I'm doing. But I know it's won awards, and I just can't remember what all awards it had won. But, I mean, I think that's great, you know, because there's so many.
Well, those,
you know,
always help, and it always, you know, kind of gets your books out into a different area.
Well, I definitely.
And it's
shows,
nice to know, too. It makes you feel good, too, when you know that your writing has won awards.
Well, yeah, because, it, you know, there's so, that's what I say, there's so many books out there, and then, you know, it stands out. You know, it's like, oh, this book stands out of all the books that came out, you know, this year within this, you know, particular age group of, you know, of writing, and that's what's so, you know, great about awards, because...
Well, and I also,
you know,
can't fail to mention the graphic artist who's also won awards for the covers. Natalie Moore is just a wonderful graphic artist, and she's done all my covers, and I've just been very happy with them.
Yeah, they're very, the color's very vivid on them, and, you know, it's not too bright, it's not subtle, but it's you know, it's definitely pleasing. It's definitely something with your, at a bookstore and you're walking by books and just kind of looking at, which, you know, unless you're specifically looking for a book that you're waiting to come out, you know, or you have, you know, which everybody has usually a list full of favorite authors, but they don't have a new book coming out and you're looking for, you know, a new book to read that maybe you've never heard of before, I mean, the covers of Cynthia Gaddick, series definitely are ones that pop off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she did a great job.
Well, I don't think you should ever underestimate the cover of a book, because I think it's very important.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now, because I had told Chris, and I don't know if she had gotten a hold of you before the show started, that I wouldn't keep you on too long because I'm even trying to keep, you know, your voice. So I would love for you to share with everybody your website so they can, you know, learn more about you, your books.
My website is www.marycunninghambooks.com. And on the website, you can get all the information about the books, the buy links, and my event scheduling. And there's even a page on there for media specialists to look at, so they can get an idea of what I do during my school visits and the things that they need to get together. So it's pretty detailed as far as the books are concerned.
That's good.
And I also have a section on there for my Women Only Over 50 book. Not that that fits in with this, but I also have a section there for those books and a couple of download ebook stories I have that are published.
Okay.
So there's pretty much everything on there that they need to find.
Okay. And again, everybody, just so you make sure you caught that, it was www.marycunninghambooks. There's an S at the end of
books.com. Uh-huh.
Well, Mary, we're great. You know, we're great having you on the show. You know, we're excited, like I said, to have you as our featured author in the June-July 2011 issue of Stories for Children magazine. Those who are listening, you can read Mary's full interview on the Stories for Children magazine website, or you can purchase the June-July issue of Stories for Children magazine at storiesforchildrenmagazine.org. And we look forward to the fifth book, Mary, in your series, because I love the first one. I haven't read the other three yet, but I did love the first one.
Oh, good.
So,
I'm glad to hear it.
It's a great series, so I hope more people, you know, pick it up and read it, because it's a fun book if you like. And I'm a fan of mystery and I'm a fan of fantasy, so for me, I got the best of both worlds in your series, so that was like a double bonus in my world. All right, well, you take care, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Nice chatting, Mary. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Now, everybody, just we have a few more minutes before the show's over, and so I wanted to kind of talk about the magazine a little bit more. Mary Cunningham, again, just so you guys all know, is our featured guest author in the June-July issue of Stories for Children magazine, which is our combined summer issue now. And then we also have, like always, our 12 stories and our six articles, and we have a youth, a young youth author, which is 17 and under, our four poems, and then we always have, you know, some puzzles, or we have our coloring page and the craft and an activity or some type of recipe or something, usually an issue. So I just kind of want to go over that a little bit. The summer issue, like I said, is basically about freedom, famous people, superheroes, and history was basically our loose idea for the magazine. And Irene, you and Randy did a really great job of going through the articles and really sending, you guys have been sending some great article submissions actually up the pipeline for me to pick for the magazine. But for articles, we have quite a few reoccurring Stories for Children contributors in the issue, which has been really exciting. And we had one new author for the first time in this issue, which is really exciting. But just kind of give everybody an idea of what the articles are. We have Nature's Wonder, and then there's Mr. Mom, which is actually written by you, Irene, which is exciting. So
yeah.
Irene has an article in this issue, which is exciting. And then we have A Scoop of History, Born to Lead, Who Let the Dogs In, and How Poop Saved a Palace, which is actually a very interesting title. And that was actually a really interesting article, actually. So just kind of some interesting articles that we have in the magazine. And then we also have there's a lot of repeat. I'm looking at our list of contributors. We actually had a lot of for our fiction for the stories that are
yeah,
in
I
the,
have some of the titles.
Yeah, a lot of, but we had a lot of new writers who were like
yeah.
not just new to stories for children, but actually new to writing that are in this issue in the fiction section, which is really exciting to see. So much new talent. We have The Most Boring Birthday in the Universe, Buster's Bath Day, Give a Goldfish, Ben and the Superhero, Toadie Tosh, On the Road to the Beach, Better Than a Zillion Zoos, Lemons to Lemonade, The Oyster Factory, The First Watermelon of Summer, Just Not Good Enough Molly, The First Kid's Hike. I'd like to read that. So those are the titles of our fiction. And then what's really exciting about our youth author in this issue is not only because she's a third grader, but she's also, I recently in April at one of our local elementary schools here in Utah was a, I was actually the only contest judge for the writing section for their Evening of the Arts. And so I had told the school after I'd gotten all the submissions I was really impressed with the writing. When it comes to young writers, usually, especially elementary age kids, you look basically for just like the very basics of writing, like, does the story basically make sense? Does the beginning, middle, and end flow well together? That kind of stuff. You don't get too much into the finer details that you do for as an adult writer, as you would when you're judging in a contest. And when I saw the writing of the four children that got first, second, third, and honorable mention, I was really impressed because their writing was what I would normally see from a newbie, novice adult writer, just like getting the feet wet for the first time. So I,
that's impressive.
So I called the school. Yeah, I was very impressed. So I called the school and I said, you know what, I want to do something a little extra for these guys, besides, handing them their award that you guys got them, their little plaques and trophies. I want to publish them in my magazine. So our youth writer in the June-July issue is actually the first place winner at the Evening of the Arts out here in southern Utah, again, at one of the elementary schools. I'm not going to say what elementary school, per se. But the title of hers, actually, it's a poem. It's called My Earth. And I was really, really impressed with just the imagery and the wording and how tightly written it was. So, and her name's Sandy Gubler, and she just did a phenomenal job. So, just kind of a little background about our youth author in this issue. And then for our poems, we have from the adult side, we have Summer Rhyme, The Best Thing About Picnics, Freedom, and Wiggle Time. And then we have a puzzle, a birthday boggler, and the activity with Sam. So there's some fun stuff in the summer issue, and so I really hope everybody will check it out on June 6th when it comes out. And then, I don't know, Irene, did you have anything to share about the issue from what you saw when you were kind of looking it over?
Well, I was just impressed by, I was looking at some of the fiction stories, and I was really impressed by some of the stories. Like, they were just, different and yet so wonderful at the same time. I had no idea about the background of this youth author. That is absolutely wonderful. It's nice to see, young authors really, coming like that, like coming to be writers, She must have been excited.
Yeah, they were. And when I announced it actually at the Evening of the Arts, because they had no idea, so it was after I handed their awards to them, then I told them the additional thing about them being published in Stories Show magazine. And their eyes got so big, a couple of their mouths fell kind of open. It was exciting to see because they were not expecting that. And, a lot of them came up to me afterwards and, they're like, really? I'm going to be published? And then, of course, like, can I get your business cards? I can ask you more questions. And, I think that sometimes, and it'd be nice to see more schools do this because, there's a lot of magazines. We're not the only one out there that publish, under 17-year-olds. And, I think it'd be fun for more kids to see their work published. I know out here, and I'll mention the school because none of the kids that are in the magazine in the next few months are from here, but I've been a contest judge over at Snow Canyon High School out here in southern Utah, and they tend to not so much like the regular English classes, but the AP, the college prep classes for English.
Wow.
The teachers tend to push those kids a little bit more and actually have them enter state and national writing contests. So they get more, and when I've been a judge in those type of contests and stuff, I talk to those kids, they seem more excited about writing because they're seeing recognition, not just because they're winning contests, but they're winning contests at state and national level. And so it'd be really fun to see more schools, I think, get involved in that kind of stuff, like pushing their kids, or if they have a child that they think has that talent, to say, hey,
yeah,
you know, why don't we, you know, submit it here? They don't even have to submit it under their real name. They can totally use, you know, a fictitious pen name. I mean, a lot of writers do, and send it in, because I think more kids would love reading and writing if they did that. So that's one of the really fun things about the next few issues, because we're actually gonna, like I said, you know, we have the first place, and then on the Stories for Children magazine website, we have all four of the stories are published under the youth section, and then we're gonna also, the third place winner, we're gonna have her. I think it was a girl. Yeah, it was a girl. We're gonna have her her story. Well, there's a boy in there. There's three girls and a boy, so I was, like, trying to make sure I was getting the wrong gender in there.
Oh, dear.
Her story's going to be in there. The only reason why the boy who won second place, the only reason why his story isn't going to be published right away is his story's actually on Christmas, so it'll be a while.
Oh, right.
It'll be on the site, but it'd be a while before it'll be in the magazine issue, so I was here to get closer to the holiday season. But,
wow.
Yeah, so it's exciting, but it was just exciting, this issue, like I said, because there's so many new authors. And like I said, some of them are, like, new. I mean, you know, they've never been published before. It's like, you know, you should put that in your cover, I've never been published before. But you can pretty much tell a new writer when they don't list any writing credits. You can tell, okay, you know, this is probably one of the first, you know, publications that they've ever had, type of thing. So so that's kind of a really fun thing. And a lot of them, and I don't know how many people are familiar with the Institute of Children's Literature, but there's quite a few of them that were from taking that writing course from there. So that's another exciting thing to see.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a big boost from there. So anyway, so that's the summer issue, everybody, for Stories for Children magazine. And again, June 6th, so this coming Monday, stop by storiesforchildrenmagazine.org, pick up your June, July 2011 issue, check out our youth authors, Mary Cunningham's interview. There's also her books will be listed in the SSC bookstore, and there'll be links to her website as well. We'll always, like always, have our educator page, and we've brought back the bookmarks. So those who do homeschooling or do kid workshops or preschool caregivers that like to have the little bookmarks to hand out to the kids, could like those too. They're back on our site. So this is happening, and we thank you all for listening. Have a good night.
Bye-bye for now.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Follow me to the world of ink.
And make sure everybody to tune in tomorrow, Friday, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for the Writing Mama Show with myself, V.S. Grenier, and Marcia Cook. We will have a very fun show on Friday on the Writing the Writing Mama Show here on BTR World of Ink Network. We will be talking about censorship and book banning with author and book reviewer Bennett. And I can't think of his last name off the top of my head right now. Sorry, Bennett. But it will be a fun show. Again, that will be 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.